بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 20th of January in the year 2022 الحمد لله we're steadily taking a glimpse into the reality of the afterlife and the last thing I mentioned which I'll mention briefly again is the statement of our beloved Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in which he said that when a person dies, he either rests or others have rested from him. So when the Sahaba asked for clarification, the Prophet was explaining Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that when the believing servant passes away, he rests from the hardships and the harm of the worldly life. And he is transported to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying that the dunya has hardships and harm. Nasabid dunya wa adaha. So notice, as you go through your life, you will face hardships and harm. But then when you die, if you're a believer, the Prophet said, you are then transferred to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the degenerate servant, Abdul Fajr, people, land, trees, and animals have rested from him. So this is in Bukhari and Muslim. So when a wretched person dies, everything breathes a sigh of relief. And the Prophet mentioned four in particular. He said, "Minhu al-ibadu, the servants, wal-biladu, the land, wal-shajaru, the trees, wal-dawab, the animals that cling to the earth." So, look how amazing. This always is the case. So when you ever go to a funeral, you should always remember the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Either he is now resting, or others have rested from him. SubhanAllah, look at the eloquence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But to add details, there's another report. In Tirmidhi, number 3266, Abu Ya'la, Abu Nu'im, Baghwi, Mishkat, number 1784, and Wadul Bayan. Anas radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no person that does not have two gates in the heaven, a gate from which his rizq descends, and a gate by which his actions and words ascend. When he dies, the gates miss him and they weep for him. He then recited, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Surah Al-Dukhan, Surah 44, verse 29. فَمَا بَقَدْ عَلِيهِمُ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ And neither the heaven nor the earth shed a tear over them. He then clarified, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is because they did not do any righteous deeds on the earth to cause the earth to weep for them, nor do good works or righteous actions ascend from them to the heaven, so that it should also miss them and weep for them. So this is the second report which adds vital details. So simply put, what was our beloved messenger saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? There are two gates in the heavens, and the earth itself, all of that weeps upon the passing away of a believer. SubhanAllah, think about that. So the two gates in the heavens, what are they for? One is your rizq is descending from it. Look how interesting that is. You think that you earn your rizq, you don't. Allah is sending the rizq, obviously cause and effect. And your deeds go through the other gate, your good deeds. When you die, those two gates weep. Why? Because you're a good person. Rizq is descending, good deeds are going up. That's the heavens weeping. But then, where's the earth? Then the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, neither the heaven nor the earth shed a tear. Where's the earth? Not mentioned. So the Prophet explained, because no goodness was done on the earth. So the earth has nothing, no cause to weep. And the heavens certainly don't miss him. So note, two gates in the heavens and the earth itself weeps upon the passing away of a believer. Subhanallah. What about the weeping of the earth? What do we know? Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, the place of prayer on earth where he used to pray and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also weeps for him. This is in Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir in their tafsirs. So what part of the earth weeps? Wherever you did salah and you did dhikr, that part of the earth weeps. Why? Because it's missing you. Because he's not going to be coming again. Because I was looking forward to him reciting the Quran, offering salah, doing dhikr. Clarifying further, our beloved messenger recited another verse of the Quran, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Surah Al-Zalzalah, Surah 99, verse 4. يَوْمَ إِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. On that day, the earth will declare its annals. On that day, the earth will declare its annals. The Prophet was asked, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what does that mean, Ya Rasulullah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the annals or the earth will testify to the deeds that every man and woman has done on its back. Thus she will say, he or she had done such and such a thing on such a day. This is in Nasa'i, Tirmidhi number 3364, Hassan Sahih Gharib, Ahmad in his Musnad number 8876, Bayhaqi, Hakim in his Mustadrak 2-532, Sahih Ibn Hibban, number 2586, Sahih Mishkat and others. So simply put, in the Quran, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, on that day, it will declare its annals. Annals means stories. It will relate the stories, the narrative. So what is the narrative? What's the earth going to narrate? The Prophet said, every man and woman who's done anything on its back, the earth will say, such and such, did such and such. So note, the Quran is clarifying. Hence our beloved messenger warned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be cautious of the earth, for it is your mother. No matter what a person does on it, be it good or evil, it will inform thereof. This is in Tabarani in his Kabir 5-61 with a Hassan chain of transmission. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying that your mother is going to testify for you or against you. Therefore, be cautious. And this also proves the earth is a female. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the previous report, he said she will say, who is she? The world. And in here he said the earth is your mother. Meaning your essence is from the earth. So let's combine all these. So they are the reports. So now, what does all this mean? This is putting it simply now. When a believer passes away, he leaves the hardships and the harm of the worldly life, going to eternal rest and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the while, his two gates of the heavens weep over him, as does the earth due to now missing him or her. Subhanallah. Was God forbid, the degenerate neither has his two gates in the heaven or earth shed a single tear for him. Rather, all the servants, the land, the trees, and even animals are relieved upon his passing. Good riddance. Now, why is it so touching? Because usually when a person leaves the world, he's going through hardship. So he may be suffering from a very serious illness. And you see it straight away. Soon as a person suffering, as soon as he dies, they even say he's at rest. So look how quickly Allah shows that the world is a place of imtihan. Even when Muhammad Ali rahmatullah alayhi was passing, he had Parkinson's and he was shaking. And his daughter goes, when he died, he straight away, he goes, he was back to normal. He looked like himself again. Because all that pain went. What did the Prophet ﷺ say? The hardships and the pain goes. You've transported to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the tragedy is the opposite. There's a person preparing. If a person not preparing, everything is wishing you, Ya Allah, get rid of him. He's causing harm. Hence, one should seriously reflect upon this reality when attending a burial. For instance, in Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya, volume 1, page 217, Shurahbil Rahmatullah alayhi, he said, whenever Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu saw a bear, he would say, go, for we are following. Or he said, return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will arrive tomorrow. He then added, this bear is a highly effective exhortation followed by a rapid forgetfulness. Death indeed is sufficient as a lesson. The people leave one by one, the last remaining still with no sense. Let's break this down. So Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he was called Hakim al-Ummat, the physician of this Ummat, the doctor, spiritual doctor. So when he would see a body, a janazah, a body going to the graveyard, he goes, go, we are following you. Or he would say, return, we will arrive tomorrow. Meaning, we're all going to go on this journey. But then he said something very interesting. This is a highly effective exhortation, meaning it's a tika. We call it tika in Pashto. It wakes people up. But it's quickly forgotten. Rapid forgetfulness. Isn't that true? Look how strange. Somebody's dead. You can see the impact. Even those who are very weak, suddenly in masjid. And they're in shock because we can't believe it. We got the phone call. I can't believe it. What happened? They're in that shock. Then what happens? Rapid forgetfulness. Then he said, the people leave one by one. The last remaining still has no sense. Meaning you see one person die. Rapid forgetfulness. Another person dies. You see two now. Rapid forget. And he goes, he doesn't get it. He might have seen 100,000, hundreds of thousands. He's still thinking. He goes, are you still deluded? The older you get, the more you see death. They should be the most nearest and eager to leave the troubles of the world. And yet are they? Astaghfirullah. Why do we forget so quickly? There's a hadith. In Hakim al-Tirmidhi, in his Nawadir al-Usul, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when you bury your brother or sister in the graveyard, there's an angel at the entrance. And as you are leaving, he throws dust on you. He goes, forget the dead. Go back to the living. And what's interesting, soon as you leave the graveyard, you feel that. Straight away, you feel it. That's the angel. He goes, you go back to your world. Forget the dead. Right? Meaning, go back to the rat race, as they say. Thus, we ask our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala to preserve us from the abysmal state about those whom Hafiz ibn Qayyim had said. Now think about it. This is a disaster. It's all about a disaster. So in Bada'i al-Fawa'id 3-1200, Hafiz ibn Qayyim said, rahmatullah alayh, whenever you notice that the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the preparation for the hereafter leaves the heart and is instead replaced by a love for the creation, a liking for the world and comfort in it, then know he has been abandoned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He then recited the following verse, Surah Al-Isra, Surah 17, verse 18. مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعَاجِلَةَ عَجَّلْنَا لَهُ فِيهَا مَا نَشَاءُ لِمَنْ نُرِيدُ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَا لَهُ جَهَنَّمَ يَسْلَاهَا مَذْمُومًا مَدْحُورًا. Whoever wishes for the immediate, I this world, we readily grant him what we will to whom we like. But afterwards, we have appointed hell for him. He will burn therein disgraced and rejected. So what did the great Hafiz ibn Qayyim say? So yesterday I mentioned the report. And this is a very, very frightening report. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that most people, they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then they become unbelievers. That's a hadith. Many people call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala their Lord, but most of them become unbelievers. Then he recited Istiqamu, Surah 41, verse 30. Be firm and steadfast, the one who remains firm till his death. in Nasai and Tirmidhi. So this is a very serious matter. People think about Shahada. You say, what else did the Prophet say? And he goes, if you die with Shahada, you go to paradise. Yeah. Oh, you die with Shahada. That's what he said. Yes. Right. Why is it important to highlight? Because most of you will lose your iman. The Prophet said it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How do you know that's happening? Hafiz ibn Qayyim said, this is the sign. The love of Allah the Almighty, preparation for the akhirat, leaves the heart. And it's replaced by love of the creation. Love for the world and comfort within the world. Because you have been abandoned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about that. He's telling you, these are signs. So a person goes, that's not me. He said, inshallah, hope it's not you. Love of Allah the Almighty leaves the heart. And preparation for the akhirat leaves the heart. What is then put into your heart? You love the creation. So a person goes, what does that mean? You love, I don't know, stupid things, land, money, mobile phones, gold, name. This is what's replaced. And you find comfort in that. Meaning that's not the place of comfort. You find comfort in it. He goes, Allah Ta'ala has abandoned you. That's what he means. He's abandoned you. And then he recited the verse. Whoever wishes for the immediate. Now look how Allah Ta'ala is describing the world. He doesn't say world. He goes, Man kana yuridu al-ajila. Ajala means the immediate. Whoever loves the immediate, we give him whatever we wish. But then we appoint for him hell, and he will burn therein disgraced and rejected. That's a commentary of that verse by Hafiz ibn Qayyim. Meaning, don't want or lust after the world. Tragically, this will be the case for many. Why? Because Mujahid, this is in Ibn Jarir in his tafsir, Mujahid recited this verse, Surah Al-Qiyamah, Surah 75, verse 20 and 21. Qalla bal tuhibbuna al-ajila wa tadharuna al-akhira. Nay, you foolishly love the immediate and leave the hereafter. He explained. Most people foolishly choose the ajila, the immediate, except those upon whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy and protects. Look how beautiful. The Quran is explaining itself. But it's not for you to, you know, study the Quran. One verse Allah ta'ala says, whoever wishes for the ajila, the immediate, he gets whatever I want to give him. He might get a little, he might get a lot. Then he's destroyed. That's what he says. In the other passage, Allah Ta'ala says, Bal tuhibbuna al-ajila. You love the immediate. Watadharuna al-akhira. You leave the hereafter. Then Mujahid said, most people foolishly choose the ajila. Going back to what the Prophet said. Most people choose the ajila. Except those whom Allah Ta'ala has mercy on and protects. The reason for this is in our constitution. Why? Because Allah the Almighty and Glorious says in another verse, in Surah Al-Anbiya, alayhi salatu wasalam, Surah 21, verse 37, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلْ سَأُرِيكُمْ آيَاتِ فَلَا تَسْتَعَجِلُونَ. Man is a creature of haste. Soon I will show you my signs. Then you will not ask me to hasten them. Subhanallah. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? Man is a creation of haste. Min ajal. Same word. Man loves, what does he say? Ajala. Quran is not in English. Quran is in Arabic, brother. You need English, you miss everything. Khuliqal insanu min ajal. Man is a creature of immediateness. You're created for that. There's something wrong with you. That's your nature. Then what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Soon I will show you my signs. Then you will not ask me to hasten them. In other words, that trait of yours, when you're standing in front of me, that's going to go then. Now you're going to, oh, no, no. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, wake up. In Surah Al-Anbiya, alayhi salatu wasalam. Thus, the hereafter must always be a priority in our lives. Otherwise, we'll have no one but ourselves to blame. So there's a beautiful dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. In Tirmidhi, number 3502, Shaykh al-Bari rahmatullah alayhi states, Hassan in his checking of Qalimut Tayyib, number 226. He would say, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, وَلَا تَجْعَلِ الدُّنْيَا أَكْبَرَ حَمِّنَا وَلَا مَبْلَغَ عِلْمِنَا. SubhanAllah. Do not make the world our greatest concern, nor the extent of our knowledge. Look at these du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. What was he making a du'a to protect from? He goes, Ya Allah, protect me from this. He's already protected. He's teaching us. Do not make the world, look at the words he used. The Prophet is Arab, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وَلَا تَجْعَلِ الدُّنْيَا أَكْبَرَ هَمِّنَا. أَكْبَرَ. What does أَكْبَر mean? Greater. Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala is greater. Greater than what? Everything. Do not make the world our greatest concern. No, wala mablagha ilmina. Know the extent of our knowledge. In other words, Ya Allah, protect me from this. He goes, think about it. You ask a person, he's got bags under his eyes, hair's going grey. What's causing it? It's not akhirat, brother. Ask him. Right? And then you go, brother, you look, what, everything all right? He goes, oh no, business is going down, pan. Right? And then you go, all right. And what else? And he goes, oh, my family's not listening to me. I've got some land back home. It's causing me a right headache. Right? So then you say to him, I've got a medicine for you. وَلَا تَجْعَلِ الدُّنْيَا أَكْبَرَ هَمِّنَا وَلَا مَبْلَغَ عِلْمِنَا. Do not make the world our greatest concern, nor the extent of our knowledge. That's all they know. Experts, one of the scholars said that, they're experts when it comes to dunya. The Sahaba were experts for the akhirat. Some of them were bachari when it came to dunya. They couldn't even count. I mentioned this report many times. One of the companions, he exchanged the princess for, 1,000 dirhams. And the other Sahaba goes, only 1,000 dirhams, what are you? He goes, is there a number higher than that? But Allah, when he came to dunya, but he's Sahaba. Ask me about akhirat. We're the opposite. Experts. If I lift this stone, I'll find gold. Don't bother about that, brother. That's not going to be easy. Right? Have you found the treasures for the akhirat? What's that? Astaghfirullah. The remedy for this, only too common malady, is the serious reflection upon what? Death. Serious reflection upon death. It is essential we constantly remember our mortality. Why? Because our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remember death abundantly. For to remember it wipes away sins and also makes one abstentious in the world. In Ibn Abi Dunya, in his Al-Mut, Imam Suyuti, in his Jami As-Saghir 2-208, Hafiz Zabidi, in his Al-Ithaf 10-228, Imam Ghazali, in his Ihya, in the chapter on Dhikr Al-Mut, Remembrance of Death, page 10 of the New English Translation. So, a few things in this hadith. First, the Prophet said, abundantly. I'm going to die. That's not abundant, brother. That's just, toilet remembrance. Right? Remember death abundantly. So a person goes, well, how am I supposed to do that? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, remember death in your salat. This will help to better your salat. So if your life is geared around salat, that's all you got to do. Put it into your salat. A person goes, I'm not thinking of anything in salat. Put it into your salat then. Right? So if you remember in death in salat, it'll better your salat. Then what did he say? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you remember it abundantly, your sins get wiped out. You're not even asking for that. That's interesting. And thirdly, you start having hatred for the world. So think about it. The guy's got grey everywhere because of dunya. If you say to him, I can take away that cancer from your spiritual system. He goes, what is it, brother? Tell me. Remember death abundantly. Oh, who told you that? The messenger of Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People who are ill don't remember death. They'll give you a bayan. Yeah, they always do it. You get violin, go on, brother, let's hear it. And after he's finished his tape recorder, so you're not remembering death, are you? Must start another bayan. Okay, let's get violin out again. Finished. You're not remembering death, are you? And after a bit, he goes, yeah, you're right. So why did you give me bayan for then? Right? Remember death. Simply put, the frequent remembrance of death is a much needed elixir for most of our spiritual ailments. That's why the Prophet said it. He didn't just say it for the sake of it. The kuffar, they, it's a taboo subject. Who's put that into their hearts? Shaitan. If it's a cure, Shaitan's going to take it away from you. The unbelievers, we expect. Why are you talking about death, mate? You're bloody making me miserable. The Prophet called it a gift. Why is it making you miserable? Because you're not a Muslim. If you are feeling miserable over death, you've got a trait of an unbeliever. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said in Bayhaqi, if I could touch this pillar of the masjid and I would die by touching it and there would be no sin acquired, nobody would beat me to touching the pillar. So think about it. Put yourself in the same situation. Here's the pillar. You haven't committed suicide. If you touch it, you drop dead. Which one of us would be racing to it? He goes, oh, brother, I can't. Okay. Why can't you? What's stopping you? Bayan starts. Hang on, violent time. You're not remembering death, are you? Abu Huraira, imagine. You know, was he lying to you? Look at the state he was in. He was giving his inner state to you. He goes, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. Bags are packed. Just need the call. We have even there's nothing in the suitcase. Imagine that. Forget about bags are packed. I ain't got a ticket. I ain't got a visa. I ain't got my COVID job. Right? I haven't got nothing in my suitcase. But I'm ready. Ready for what? You know what? I'm ready to go. You can be ready as much as you want. You're not going nowhere, brother. You camped up. Reflect upon this. In Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman, Imam Suyuti in Sharh al-Sudur, number 223, Anas radiallahu anhu said, nobody has seen or heard, experienced the like of 2 days and nights. There's 2 days and nights that nobody has heard or seen the likes of them. The first of the 2 days, when the angel alayhi salatu wasalam either brings glad tidings or of punishment from your Lord to you upon your death. There's no day like that. The second is when you will ultimately stand before your Lord and he will give you your sheet of deeds in the right hand or vice versa. Those are the 2 days, because there's no days like that. As for the 2 nights, the first night is when the dead will sleep in his grave, the like of which he has never slept before. And the second night is next to which is the day of judgment, after which there will be no night. Look how they speak this Arab. It also shows how contemplative they were. They weren't thinking of shallow things. They were thinking deeply about things. 2 days and 2 nights. He gets your attention straight away. What 2 days and 2 nights? You're never going to see anything like them. One is when you're dying. And at that point you're thinking, pass, fail, pass, fail. Oh my God, is there going to be a day like that? And the second is, you're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thinking, what's going to happen? Is he going to forgive me? Is he going to punish me? That's going to be a day. Why? Day of judgment. If you talk about that, it's not going to be night, is it? 2 nights. The first is you'll be asleep in the grave. There'll be no sleep like it. What did he mean by that? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in Tirmidhi, authentic hadith, that when a person is successful in the grave, You will say, let me inform my family of my success. And the angels will say, sleep. Sleep like a bridegroom on her night. Meaning, this is the time, a blessed night for you. Why is it called night? Because there's no light in the grave. And the second night, which is amazing, is the day of judgment. After the day of judgment, there's no night. Think about that. Day of judgment strikes, where's night? The whole system's gone. Wait. It's just day. Paradise. And then you've got darkness in hell. So what was he thinking about Anas? But the Prophet said, think about death. Think deeply about it. As Maulana Rumi so beautifully put it, Rahmatullah Ali, death is our wedding with eternity. Death is our wedding with eternity. This is recorded by Sheikh Ehelwa in her work, Secrets of Divine Love, page 258. Imagine you go, brother, I'm going to get married. They go, oh, congratulations, brother. We're getting married too. He goes, moth. No, hang on a minute, what? Right? He goes, what's up? And he starts pulling away. What are you pulling away for? He goes, our wedding with eternity. I'm getting married to eternity. That's death. When you die, you've entered eternity. But what eternity? You make your bed and you sleep in it. What bed are you preparing? Is it a good bed? Or is it the other bed? What's interesting, Allah Ta'ala calls hell a bed. What an evil bed to lie on. Very interesting words Allah Ta'ala uses when he's talking about the hellfire. SubhanAllah. So all I mentioned today was again talking about reflections on the afterlife. And note, it's critical that we reflect upon these most important of subjects. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحان الله اللهم بحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون السلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصل الحق وواصل الصبر صدق الله العظيم